This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Did you once mention that the Islanders won last night? Once.
No, I did not. So because I didn't mention the Islanders, now I'm not equipped to host a hockey show?
It shows how uninterested you are in hockey.
I love hockey. We don't talk a lot of hockey. Just yarking.
I'm not asking you to break it down to a fine powder. Just mention that the Islanders won yesterday.
Islanders won last night. Big news, everybody. Islanders won at home last night. Big news. Jazz hands.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Stop the presses. They're now only 60 points behind the Rangers.
Oh, here we go.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Islanders 4-1 last night at home against the Philadelphia Flyers. Anthony Beauvillier, your third star. Brock Nelson, your second star. Ilya Sorokin, maybe the second best goalie in New York, your number one star of the night. What a win from the Isles, Rick. What
Sorokin
a win.
Was awesome. Sorokin made some unbelievable saves.
He really was. Oh.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
If you were Christian McCaffrey, now you know who he dates, right?
Olivia Culpo, is that how you say her name?
Yeah. Would you like... It's great you're on vacation. Everyone's on vacation. But, I mean, this is the... You'd like to at some point be in the playoffs and attempt to win a Super Bowl. I don't know how much I would want my picture being plastered all over Instagram of me on vacation right now.
Why?
I just don't know. I don't... Because I'd be, first of all, I would be pissed that we're not in the playoffs. I don't know. I just...
Okay, so what is he supposed to do? Sit in his basement and watch
videos?
No, go on
vacation.
Like, go
on vacation. I wouldn't want my picture all over the place while the playoffs were going on.
But here's the thing. He's a major celebrity. She's a major celebrity. I'm sure they're not calling the Ritz, wherever they are, saying, listen, we're going to be there. Make sure our picture gets released
They're posting their own pictures is what I'm saying.
All right, so what?
She's posting the pictures.
This is what she does.
No, I know. I'm saying I wouldn't like it is all I'm saying. Like, let's just be on vacation. Let's just us be on vacation, especially with the playoffs going on.
I believe Braxton Berrios is with them.
Oh, he dates her sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're having a little couples vacation, which is fine, which is great. I don't know if I would personally like the message that it sends. I think the fans want to believe that like you're all broken up about not being in the playoffs. Not you with on vacation, just having a great time.
I honestly think this is old man, get off my lawn.
No, I'm just I'm saying to you personally as a former athlete, I would not want those pictures.
Point. I think almost everyone listening right now is hearing this and going, like, what is he talking about? The guy gives everything he has. It's the off season. He's on vacation with his beautiful girlfriend. Good for him. Even I, who's a savage when it comes to this stuff, doesn't have a problem with it.
No. It's great for him. Don't get me wrong. Awesome for him. I think part of the reason why there have been, I mean, she used to date. I mean, you some of the guys that you know she used to date. They also had a problem with everything that they do is always, always out on Instagram.
But that's what you sign on for with her.
Well,
that's what
I get
she
it.
Is. She's a social
like
media megastar.
I wouldn't like it.
Okay. Then you know what? You don't date Olivia Culpo.
I don't. Listen, you're right. I'm married to my wonderful wife.
Your phenomenal, beautiful wife.
And I refuse to be in any of the pictures that she posts. Any of them.
Is Cassie big on social media?
No, but she loves pictures. Loves pictures.
Wait, so she just wants to take like family pictures so she can put it in the album and you won't let her do that?
No, I don't like to participate in pictures.
Oh, come on. You know what?
I hate them.
You're damaged. What's the matter with
you? I don't like
you?
Pictures. What do you want to tell you? I hate pictures.
So when Milo has his wedding and there's some kind of a montage.
Well, I'll be in the wedding photos.
No. But when they look back on pictures from vacations as a kid, that's not going to... Where's Dad? He didn't like photographing himself? Come on.
No, I'm in some of the pictures, but I'm not in, like, I'm not in a lot of the pictures.
I mean, you're the captain. You're the dad of the DPHROs.
Yeah, well, I get it. Everyone recognizes that.
Any picture that your wife and your family wants you to be in.
No.
You know what I'm surprised by? This might be the first time on the show that I've actually felt like the adult.
Because you love taking pictures. I hate taking pictures.
No, that's not true. You think I love to be like, we're on the beach?
I've seen you with our photo shoots. I've seen you wearing that closet with scoping in the photo shoots.
Yeah.
I mean, you're hamming it up. What do you
need from you, Jeff? I'm very uncomfortable. But you know what? I look at the, pun intended, the bigger picture. And I can see that down the road, having this moment for prosperity, you know what? It's gonna come in handy. And it's nice to have this. And it's nice to recollect on these great family moments.
I have the moment in my head.
You just don't get it.
I'm in enough of the pictures. I'm not in all the pictures. I don't like taking pictures.
All I'm saying is the worm has turned. I'm the adult and you're the immature, juvenile baby at the moment. is what's happened.
All right. That's fine. I'll take it. I'll hold the L on this one. I don't like taking pictures.
Listen, I understand not wanting to. Take it. You know, you don't love pictures. You're not a fan of it. That's fine. But sometimes you have to put your big boy pants on and be the adult and say, you know what?
Yep.
I will deal with what I have to deal with on this vacation.
No, listen, I'll suck it up and I'll take some of the pictures. I ain't posting on. I mean, we're not posting any of the pictures. Never. No interest in that.
And that's fine. But that's a different conversation altogether. All right. Can we go to some of the calls?
I've been waiting for some of the calls. Yes.
I don't know. It's your vacation and Olivia Culpo, and you're doing everything, but RJ's going to have he's going to fall down with your lack of attention to his
I can't
Niners.
Believe you don't feel a way about that.
About what?
About the whole situation.
Please, let's not start.
It's because it doesn't affect your team. That's
please,
why. It's because it doesn't affect the Giants.
No. If Saquon Barkley was on vacation right now and sent photos of him and his family on social media, you think I'd be like, I can't believe he did that?
I mean, there was a photo once. Once
that's different.
The Giants on vacation.
That's different.
Well, how's that different?
I mean, it's apples to oranges. Come on. Don't be so naive. You know how it's different. They had a game in 6 days.
Things have gone well since that photo.
Shut up. Lou in North Carolina. Lou, good morning. I'm sorry for Rick today. He's in a very weird mood.
Hey, guys. I just want to ask a quick question about a potential Knicks trade. If they were to pick up the phone and call the Sacramento Kings and you offer a future first round, Mitchell Robinson, IQ, and, say, Julius Randle, does that spike their interest in getting a De'Aaron Fox?
A one Randle
would spike
Robinson.
My interest.
I mean, I would do it if I was the Knicks.
It would spike my interest.
Yeah. Did they do it? I mean, how can you trade your point guard unless you think Haliburton is that good?
Well, I read a report that both could potentially be available for the right deal.
The one or the other. I'm not going to overpay if I'm the Knicks, but I make the call.
Well, the other thing with Brunson, too, is he's going to be, I mean, Brunson's another name that you've heard. He's going to be a free agent, too. And he wants big money.
Of course he does. He's a good player.
Yeah, he's a good player.
But De'Aaron Fox is, I mean, he's a game-changing point guard.
Yeah, I think that's a different level. The problem is you just don't have one. I mean,
so
Derrick
Rose
is
that
good.
Haliburton might be available?
For the right deal, I heard either one of the two was available.
Really?
Could be available.
Year two, they would trade him already, huh?
Well, I mean, it's the beauty of having two, right? For the right deal, I mean, depending on which one of the two you want.
So we don't have any. They have two.
Yeah. Well, because we drafted. See, I really think that they had no idea that Julius Randle was going to turn himself into what he turned himself into. Because why else would you take Obi?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have.
Well, listen, why would you have thought that Julius Randle was going to turn into what he turned into?
Well, I don't think you would have. But he did, and now, I mean, now we're dealing with...
The problem is now he's reverted back to what he was.
And you just paid him.
Exactly. Yep. DPHO Rothenberg with you, presented as always by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on the show, Mike Tannenbaum, 735 today, join us via the Goodyear Hotline, 1-800-919-3776. All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. If I let you draft one team to win the whole thing, who would you take right now?
Green Bay.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't think you're far off with the Buffalo thing. I think that's going to be a great game. I'm really looking forward to that game.
I think Buffalo is going to win the Super Bowl.
But here's the thing, though. As good as Josh Allen has played, and especially in that game against New England, I have more confidence because Pat Mahomes has been through this, and it seems like every year. I mean, look what this team has done. In him giving me a representative performance of what I expect from Pat Mahomes, as opposed to Josh Allen, there are the occasions when he just won't play a good game. He'll have a bad game.
It's a fair point, but he has been unbelievable. I don't know why, and the Chiefs are still very good. I don't think this is a like of the last three seasons, this to me feels like it's the least talented or well equipped Chiefs team that they've had.
I don't disagree with you, but I mean it's so hard, man. I mean to do this every single year is so hard.
It's phenomenal.
I mean, look what the Islanders. I hate to bring up hockey because I know you don't like to talk about hockey.
No, I don't.
And yet you host a show on Saturdays. But I mean, it's like look what's going on with the Islanders this year, with all the stuff that's going on. I mean, you had back-to-back years where you're in the Eastern Conference Finals, and now everyone expected they were. Dude, I was looking at the list of preseason predictions, and there were a handful of people that picked the Islanders to win the Stanley Cup this season.
Of course, there were,
and they're struggling.
But they've had a tough run. For, I mean, they started with like 15 straight road games.
13.
Yeah. I mean, it's just this has been a terrible script for them this season.
It's mentally it's so hard to get back.
But look at the talent that the Chiefs have. It goes back to the adage that we discuss all the time. If you have the quarterback, you're so far ahead of the curve. And they have a quarterback that's so good. Coupled with a coach that's phenomenal.
But isn't that the reason why you trash Tennessee though? I mean, just think about it. Why did you trash Tennessee? You love their coach. You love their running back.
Yep.
They got a good defense. Why did you trash them?
The quarterback's not at the level.
That's exactly right.
Not at the level.
I mean, if you put, in all honesty, if you
am I wrong? There's no way you put Tennessee higher than third in the AFC right now.
I don't trust Ryan Tannehill, no. And exactly. I don't know what Derrick Henry's going to look like. But what they've been able to do with all the injuries and everything else, you're going to have Brown back. You're going to have Julio Jones back. Derrick Henry back. They could still run the. I mean, they could still run the football without Derrick Henry.
Oh, okay, and do you trust them?
No, see, that's the issue, though. I don't. Could you imagine? Take one of those quarterbacks and put them on Tennessee, right now. And I would say, all right, I'll give Josh Allen on Tennessee, and I'll ask you the same question: draft one team to win the Super Bowl. Who is it?
Tennessee. If you trade Josh Allen and Ryan Tannehill, you can't even incorporate Buffalo into Cuddle Mary Trash because they're not alive right now.
That really is. I mean, that's how important that position is.
Who's the best quarterback in the world in the NFL?
Right now as we speak?
Yes.
Probably Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. Is he in the postseason?
Yep.
Who's number two?
Tom Brady.
Is he in the postseason?
Yep.
All right. Coincidentally, they're the 1-2 seeds in the NFC. Who's number mm-hmm. three?
In the NFC?
No. Just best quarterback that plays in the NFL. Mahomes. Is he in the postseason?
Of course.
Who's number four?
Who? Number four?
You got to put Josh Allen at some
point. Josh Allen's right there, yeah.
Okay. And I mean, it's to a T. You have a great quarterback. You're going to probably be very, very good.
Well, look at the teams. I mean, you got the teams that you wanted. You can sit in there complaining and moan, these were blowouts and everything else. But, I mean,
these are
the games you want to see this weekend.
I never once complained.
No, but I mean, we took phone calls today complaining. Football.
Yeah, people didn't like it, but not for me. Don't put me as that guy.
No, you're not that guy. But, I mean, we got exactly the games. You got the games you wanted.
I'm not going to complain about playoff football. It's just not going to happen.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what I have right in front of me, Rick? Right in front of me?
Oh, please tell me it's a giveaway. Please tell me it's a giveaway.
It is the super button. It's this. No, it's not just a giveaway. It's the giveaway.
It's the Super Box.
Super Box Bonanza giveaway. I could do it now. I could do it in 6 minutes from now. I could do it in 11 minutes. Like, I don't know when I'll do it, but I have it right in front of me.
Well, how long would you wait for Superbox? That's the question.
Uh-oh. That's the million-dollar question.
I mean, if I only have to wait 6 minutes for that, I don't know if that's...
But I could make you not wait at all. I could give it to you right now.
Oh, I don't know how...
I'll show you. Want to see it? You want it?
Give it to me right now.
You want it? Let me give it to you properly. Okay.
You
sure?
Give me the beautiful Super Bowl. Yeah, right now.
Now you're going to swing it. Here we go. The 98.7 ESPN Super Box Bonanza. Now, I believe we are the very first to be involved in this, RJ, correct?
First one into the Super Box.
First one into the Super Box.
Always best to be the first.
Be caller number one at 888. Stop it, Raymond. Stop it, Richard. Please let me read.
I'm just giving you a tip.
Be caller number one. Stop it! Here's how it's going to work. You do it one more time, and one of the three you can read it.
Please don't let Rick read it.
I love how every threat with Dave is that he's going to do less work and we're going to do more work.
Well, you know, I'm trying to do my job. Could you imagine if you did a read and he's playing buzzers and bells and whistles? You'd have a nervous breakdown.
I'm not just randomly playing them, you know.
It's your own fault.
I'm going to start again. If I get interrupted this time.
Be very selective about what you say. That's all I can say.
He's never had experience like this.
Well, you should, please.
All right, from the top.
It's the 98.7 ESPN Superbox Bonanza. Be caller number one at 888-987-ESPN right now to win a $20 FanDuel credit. Access for four to the FanDuel pregame virtual party hosted by Peter Rosenberg, Chris Carlin, and Super Bowl champ Chris Canty. And to select a box for the big game with a chance to win $500 in the first and third quarters, $1,000 at halftime, $3,000 for the final score. When selecting a box, winners could reveal one of 10 daily double prizes, including, but not limited to, a Samsung smart television.
Wow.
Sonos One Smart Speaker. An Apple Watch.
Ooh.
An electronic scooter. And more.
Is that one of those Apple Watches that, like, if you fall down and go unconscious, it'll call 911 for you?
I believe so. Yes. Wow. It'll give you your latitude, your longitude, and, nice. And exactly where you are. Steve has fallen at 77-41. Go get him.
How does it know? I want to know how it knows.
I don't know. I don't. Can I please finish the read? And remember to listen to us on DPHO and Rothenberg, KJM, Greeny, Barton Hahn, and the Michael K. Show through February the 11th for your chance to be a part of Super Box Bonanza, all brought to you by FanDuel and 98.7 ESPN. How good was that read?
That was terrific. Second time was even better. First time was going to be good. Second time was better.
I mean, that was very well done by me. Very well done. Very proud of myself. All right, let's get to the calls. Jay, Massachusetts. Jay, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, fellas. Dave, I really need you to save me here because over the past couple of years of all that we are going through as Giants fans, I have now developed high blood pressure, cholesterol problems, and I was told by someone to start drinking to thin out my blood because of that's how an agony.
Wait a minute. A medical professional told you start drinking to thin out your blood?
Well, I wouldn't want to look at his license, but yeah, I'm taking the advice. Unless you can save
I'd probably go baby aspirin.
I think that might be the more appropriate route. But continue. What's your question?
Well, I've also, like you, Dave, have now become just numb and accepting of where we are as a team. And because of this information, advice from this guy, I need you to save my sobriety. Should I have hope? And these rumors of Brian Flores and Deshaun Watson.
No. If that's the only thing that gives you hope, I would be very surprised if the Giants went in the Deshaun Watson route. Very surprised. That being said, I think you should have hope. The Giants got rid of a GM that was incapable. They got rid of a coach that underwhelmed, and they're going to do things very differently. If you don't have at least hope now, I don't know that you'll ever have hope. I understand you might be skeptical, but hope, Rick? Don't you have to have hope right now?
That's all you have. If you don't have hope, you have nothing.
Nothing. But they're going to do things differently. They're going to hire a GM and let him hire his own head coach. The people that they're talking to are all very well respected around the NFL. So I don't know what there's not to be excited about right now.
No, you should be excited. It can't get worse. They did what needed to be done. Gettleman was leaving, so it was the perfect opportunity now to have, you know, a fresh break from Joe Judge, and you bring in the GM, put him in charge of making this decision, get the head coach, have them in lockstep, and then you move forward.
Exactly. Let's go to Cullum in the Bronx. Good morning, Cullum. You're on 98.7.
Morning, guys. So I just want to say quickly, I know you don't want Doug Peterson, and I dislike Doug Peterson as well, but if Doug Peterson didn't do what he did 2 years ago, the Giants probably are in the playoffs, and they keep Joe Judge. So, I mean, in hindsight, it was actually a pretty good thing that happened because it kind of guaranteed Joe Judge being gone. But the other thing I want to say is I know they're going through the GM search, and we're going to let the GM hire the coach and everything, but after Brian Daboll can win by 30 points on a Bill Belichick coach defense, that should be the top of the list of a guy who I want to be the head coach. Because I said you got to go offense. This is an offensive league. 90% of the coaches that are in the playoffs are offensive. All the other coaches that are above 500 are offensive coaches. You have to get an offensive mind on this team.
I think there's a very good chance that happens, and thanks for the call, Cullum. And you're right. Brian Daboll has done nothing but raise his stock in this postseason so far.
No, I said that after that Bills game. I mean, what he's been able to do with Josh Allen. He was someone that I was interested in before they hired Coach Saleh. He was someone I was interested with the Jets.
I don't know how you couldn't be interested. He has taken a guy that a lot of people thought could never turn into this kind of player and turned him into an absolute superstar. And the team that I look at right now is my favorite to win the whole thing. So there you have it. We'll get to more of your calls, 800-919-3776. Mike Tannenbaum. So quickly, you think he eats crow or you think he defends his stance on the Cowboys?
Defends it.
Oh, Mike.
He's
all right.
He's going to defend it, and then he's going to double down and take Tennessee. Love Tennessee.
Maybe you think I can finagle like a double or nothing wager out of him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is great.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I've been waiting for this conversation. He's very talented, very knowledgeable, an excellent guest, and a man who could not have been more wrong. We welcome in the great Mike Tannenbaum. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
You know, I could just feel the smile, like ear to ear, Dave. Like, yeah. You're just popping at the seams right now.
Bursting, as some would say. Did we make a wager on the Cowboys going to the Super Bowl or not?
I can't remember that. That seems like that was a 2021 thing.
Fortunately for you, I can. You owe me a gift card to Starbucks, of which I will say you don't have to send to me. If you admit that you taking the Cowboys was ridiculous and they are fraudulent.
Gift card is en route.
All right.
I told you he'd never admit it.
Okay, that's fine. So is it fair to say that the gift card is actually on the way to my home?
I can confirm that, Dave. There will be a Dave Rothenberg gift card.
Wonderful. See, this is why he's so well respected, because he loses
a man of integrity.
Wager and he instantly pays.
Yeah, he'll pay because he's not going to sit here and admit he thought that the Cowboys were going to get to the Super Bowl, and he stands by that, Dave.
So let me take you guys behind the curtains here, because I've been asked this question quite a bit.
How would
you handle Coach McCarthy, and what would you do with him? I would bring him in. I've had these conversations with coaches. Rex and I, candidly, have had a lot of these sort of conversations over the years. Any coach I ever work with, where you close the door and you just say, hey, you led the league in penalties. Coach McCarthy, you had 69 penalties on offense. Only the Jacksonville Jaguars, who fired their coach, had more. That is unacceptable. And by May, when I go out to that first OTA practice, I will throw up if I see any penalties at practice. Are you benching Zeke? Are you making them run laps? to Rex Ryan's credit, he used to have guys do push-ups. He used to make guys run who didn't have penalties, so the guys who did saw the consequences of their actions. But I want a detailed plan, because if we go to Oxnard, California, where the Dallas Cowboys have practice, and we have penalties in those preseason games, remember this conversation, because you'll be the first coach fired next year. I am giving you the answers to the test. The lack of discipline on this team is unacceptable, and that is 100% on the head coach.
Yeah, but Mike, big picture, though, and I get it. I mean, between, you know, the play call at the end of the game, the penalties and everything else, it's, yeah, and Mike McCarthy has to answer a lot of these questions. But, I mean, the reason why Dave thought it was funny when you picked Dallas is because he always goes back to, it's Dallas will find a way to screw it up. It's what everyone says. So it's not just Mike McCarthy. It's been the Dallas Cowboys. What is it? Because Jerry Jones is still going to be the owner. Is it the fact that the players have a direct line to the owner? Like, what is it about Dallas that these things continue to happen?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Rick. I would say it's a couple of things. First of all, it comes back to the head coach. And I hate when people say, like, well, this owner is involved. And look, we talked about with the Mara family. Like, if I'm running the Giants, come on in. Like, we're all trying to rob the same train. Like, we're all trying to win. Jerry Jones, hold me accountable for the results. So if you make a suggestion and we don't act on it, I'll tell you why. But you need to have the head coach be able to get up in front of the team and know that there's going to be accountability. And by the way, the other thing that's totally unacceptable, that wide receiver coach of the Cowboys, did you guys see number 85, Noah Brown, had no sense of urgency when they were trying to clock the ball? I'm one of the very few people on the planet that said, with 14 seconds, you actually can run a play. It's far from ideal, but if Dak had slid 2 yards earlier, they would have had one more play. The irony is, they actually did a lot of good things. San Francisco actually screwed up earlier. They weren't defending the perimeter, and Dallas got out of bounds. The first job in that drive is to get over the 50. They did that. They try to get a little bit closer, which I understand. But Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator of the Cowboys guys, under rules, until there's 15 seconds left on the play clock, you can speak to the quarterback. And what Kellen Moore should have said was, make sure you slide with 10 seconds, not 8. And that was the difference in the game.
So, Mike, let me ask you this, because Rick and I had this debate yesterday on the show. Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Would you rather 2 shots from the 40 into the end zone, or say the 28, right? 2-3 yards prior to where they did, 1 shot from the 28 into the end zone.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I'm answering that question different this season. I'm probably taking 2 from the 4, and here's why. The way they freaking call pass interference calls, which are, it's a complete joke, it's completely inconsistent. Go back to the last play of the first half of that Raider-Charger game, and while there was some contact in the middle of the end zone, Derek Carr threw the ball 40 yards. The ball was completely non-catchable, and they still threw it. So you're asking a great question, Dave. I would tell you I would throw the ball in the end zone as many times as possible, not just to try to catch the ball, but hopefully to get a PI.
Yeah, why is that, though, Mike? Why are we not doing we see it the entirety of the season, you see it. What happened to it's just not, it's not catchable, and we shouldn't call the DPI.
Do you guys remember Mike Holmgren, a longtime coach, great, was with Green Bay. Yeah, and he had a great line, to your point, Rick, which was he was on the competition committee for years, and one of his standards was the three guys at the bar standard. So if you remember the Tuck rule, is it a fumble or not? His whole thing was, if three guys are at a bar saying there's no way that guy could catch it, like, there needs to be some common sense to a game that has incredibly the amount of details to the rules, I think, would surprise most fans. So to your point, if we use that standard, the three guys at the bar, they need to change that rule because it's impacting the outcome of games. And maybe when there's 2 minutes to go in the half, second and fourth quarter, maybe you go to the college rule where it's 15 yards because you don't want, the outcome of games. Because to me, clearly the Chargers were a better football team than the Raiders. And I'm not saying that's the one penalty that changed the game. We could go back to Brandon Staley calling a timeout. But the point being is you don't want some official with some subjective standard truly impacting the outcome of games.
Mike, when you look at the way they place the football and that the chains, almost like it's 1926, run out and they extend it to see if it's a first down or not, do we not have the technology? They can throw slime on a Nickelodeon broadcast to make it look like it's pouring into the end zone. There's nothing we can do better for technological purposes to make the first down more accurate?
Well, the answer is yes, but I think it was Boomer Esiason or Phil Simms made this point on CBS's show, which is, first of all, it's fair for both teams. So, look, I've had the great privilege of working for Coach Parcells, Coach Belichick. If you guys go to any of their practices, you're always ending with situational football, and they're screaming, give it to the official, give it to the official. I mean, you're hearing that in May. You're hearing that in July. You're hearing it every Friday. That's just like football 101. Give it to the official. So even though you're right, Dave, it's not where it should be, we know what the rules are. And then I would say this, and this was the point that Boomer or Sims was making, which was because the way technology is, if we go back to that Cincinnati Raider playoff game last weekend where we all heard the whistle, the technology, again, needs to change where can New York review that play? Because the way that is, the rule is if there's an inadvertent whistle, which there was, you just replay the play.
Play's dead. Yep.
And they need to change the rules. They can't sit there and say, oh, well, guess what? You can't review the play because it's not reviewable. That's BS. Like, to your point, Dave, like, if we could all see technology with slime, we should be able to know that if everybody in America heard that whistle, let's replay the play.
Well, but they knew they screwed up. They knew they screwed up. The second he blew that whistle, he knew he screwed up because Joe Burrow was not out of bounds, and they didn't want to take away the touchdown. So, hot take, Rothenberg watches Buffalo do what they did to New England. And now he feels like the Buffalo Bills are his team that could go and win the Super Bowl. How do you feel about that?
I think there's a great lesson for all of us that have been around evaluating players, which is Josh Allen was not an accurate quarterback at Wyoming. Josh Allen was 53% his rookie year, and he's gotten unbelievably better. And I learned two things in that game Saturday night, guys. One is New England got incredibly old like in 10 minutes. Like, they're great players, Devin McCourty, Dante Hightower, they both looked old and slow. And that's a big, big conversation for the Patriots this offseason. And I think Josh Allen, the way he can make plays with his feet, guys, I'm telling you, like, this game against Kansas City, whatever the over-under is, take the over. Like, this is going to be, you know, like 56-52, double overtime, last man standing. And Buffalo can stand toe-to-toe. That's going to be a heavyweight championship fight this weekend.
Is that the AFC Championship game in your mind?
You know, it's so funny, Dave. Like, no, and here's why. Like, when are we going to start giving credit to Mike Vrabel in Tennessee? Because if we go back and look at the Titans, guys, Caleb Farley, their first-round pick, out for the year. Bud Dupree, big signing from Pittsburgh, gets hurt. They lose A.J. Brown. They lose Julio Jones. And, oh, by the way, some guy named Derrick Henry misses half the season. And they're still the one seed. So while those other teams are the fireworks, and I can't wait to watch that game myself, I think at some point we have to say to ourselves, like, Tennessee's doing something right, and they've – and this is what pisses me off, guys, when we hear these other coaches talk about, oh, we have these number of draft choices next year or this amount of cap space, all that excuse-making and, oh, we had this guy have COVID this week. Go call Mike Vrabel. Ask him about his excuses. You know, Dante Foreman goes in and plays well. And my point is, like, Tennessee's earned the right to be the one seed, and someone's got to go knock them out in Nashville for them not to get to the Super Bowl.
Feisty Mike Tannenbaum joins us here in the show.
I love hate it. When I lose a bet. I hate it.
Oh, I love it. Would you like a double or nothing?
What do you got?
All right, I'll tell you what. I'll lay on the line with you. All right.
Everything's negotiable. I'm like talking to my two teenagers. You guys want this and that. Everything's negotiable.
Okay.
So once you make your bet.
Here's what I'll throw your way. All right? I will send you back the gift card once received if you would like to do a little double or nothing. If Tennessee advances to the AFC Championship game, I get the winner of Buffalo, Kansas City in that wager against Tennessee.
Well, Tennessee is going to get to the championship game. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Yeah, I'll take that.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
All right. So I will receive this gift card, I imagine, the next couple of days. And then once I do, I will hold it until the AFC Championship game, rather, and I will either send it back or you can send me another one of equal value.
All right, you know, and chai lattes are getting really expensive. You know, especially with oat milk. You guys see oat milk prices? They're like skyrocketing.
Through the roof.
Yeah, I mean, these gift cards are becoming more and more valuable.
So let me write that down. So next time I see you. So now we're not doing soy milk anymore.
Next time I see you, Rick, I haven't seen you in like 3 years. Like, you're saying, like, I'm around the corner. Like, I don't know. I'm in the ESPN studios. You guys aren't. So, like, I don't know.
We'll never see you again. We love you, but we'll never see you again. Yeah.
There's no one to open the doors the time we have to be there. All right. Last one for me, Mike. What's going on with Arizona late in seasons?
Yeah.
I mean, this is another year they fall. I mean, this is – I don't think anyone – expected to see what we saw last night. The game wasn't even competitive.
Guys, I'll tell you what. great infomercial about competitive toughness. And that game was won and lost last night in the trenches, and the Rams just whipped them. You know, and you go back to the Dallas-San Francisco game, the 49er defensive line whipped the Cowboy offensive line, and playoff football usually comes down to who's more physical. Matt Stafford played well, but let's face it, Cam Akers, Sony Michel, they were able to control the line of scrimmage, and on the other side of the ball, I thought Kyler Murray just looked really average. And, you know, you keep him in the pocket, and he's just a guy. And, look, they were missing DeAndre Hopkins, and I don't know if that would have made a difference or not, but credit the Rams. They were the tougher team last night.
That was a terrible, terrible football game. All right, last one for me. The wager is already locked in, and I look forward to that. The Giants. Who do you like that they've talked to? Who do you like coach-wise? What in your mind is the right direction to go in? Give us kind of an overview of where we are with the Giants right now.
Yeah, I really like some of the candidates. Joe Hortizes of the world, Adam Peters, Monty Ossenfort. There's a number of guys that are beyond reproach, good evaluators, great people, great listeners, leader of men. And to me, and I've said it before, guys, like, one, Brian Flores does make a lot of sense to me because of his BC connection, Brooklyn guy, but there's about five guys to me, and I'll rattle them off again. Jim Caldwell, Todd Bowles, Doug Peterson, Dan Quinn, that have all had success to varying degrees. I know what it's like to run a team in New York. It is really hard. Why not benefit from the mistake of the Detroit Lions, who inexplicably fired Jim Caldwell, or the Atlanta Falcons, who moved on from Dan Quinn, who, despite your observations, Dave, has actually done a great job with the Cowboys, or Doug Peterson, who's a Super Bowl winning head coach? Why not benefit from those experiences that those gentlemen have had instead of look what you've done with Pat Shurmur, Ben McAdoo, and Joe Judge? So for me, I'm going young, I'm going ascending on the GM front, but I'm getting some experience because I think in this market, guys, your best chance for success is to bring in somebody that has had success and has experience.
I know you got to run. We do as well. But Brian Daboll then falls to the, yeah, kind of that second tier because of that.
Brian's a really good man. He's a good friend of mine. He deserves to be a head coach. And if Brian had options for those reasons, you know, maybe at Chicago, which if I'm the Bears, I'm trying to get him. If I'm the Dolphins, you know, he coached Tua at Alabama. And if I'm the Bears and I see what he did with Josh Allen, I want to run that offense with Justin Fields. So I think he'll be a good fit. I'm just saying, if I own the Giants, given what's happened over the last 6 years, I'm getting a guy that's done it at a high level, because I don't need any guesswork or projections. Why not go get a guy that is really, like Jim Caldwell, is beyond reproach, really successful, and you're telling me the Lions have made really good decisions? Dan Quinn, Doug Pe- like those guys are just in NFL circles, highly, highly regarded.
Mike, we love you. I'm glad that you're indebted to me at this point, and we'll talk to you next week, I'm sure.
All right, wait, Dave, stay thirsty, okay?
Oh, don't you worry. I absolutely will. That, of course, is the great, talented Mike Tenenbaum. By the way, Rick, before I dance in just a moment, Charles Goldthwaite from Toms River, New Jersey, today's Superbox Bonanza winner.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to you, Charles, and hopefully you win big and beautiful prizes. I mean, how good was that? I asked him the question. He said, great question, and on top of that, took my side of the debate.
No, I know. That was well done. I did get a great question, though, before your great question. It's the whole interview. We had two great questions. He ends up taking your side, so I lose that one. But then we got him to double down, which was even better.
And you love my side of the wager, don't you?
Yeah.
You would take Kansas City or Buffalo against Tennessee, right?
Yes.
So you believe he's sending me another gift card to Starbucks?
I think I'm expecting multiple Starbucks gift cards.
You know who's going to benefit? You guys. I'm going to start sending you guys just coffees to your home.
That'd be terrific.
Courtesy of Tenenbaum. All right, Santa needs 2 minutes. I don't want to shortchange him. So, Raymond, the floor is yours.
Today's three stars. Number three.
I mean, I guess star number three's got to go to Mike Tenenbaum there. He's doubling down on what he said. I mean, I appreciate him not backing down from picking Dallas from a Super Bowl, but obviously in hindsight, he was completely wrong, and he deserves all the ridicule, just like the Cowboys do. So, Dave, what is the double or nothing circumstances here again? What has to happen?
So, assuming Tennessee, and he is so confident, Tennessee, and they're only giving 3.5 at home against Cincinnati, but if Tennessee's in the AFC Championship game, I get the winner of the Buffalo Kansas City game against Tennessee. If they win, I now get a second gift card. If he wins, I send him back the original gift card.
It's a lot of variables, but we'll keep an eye on it.
A lot of variables.
We'll keep an eye on it.
This is a $200 bet we're looking at right now.
This is big time stuff.
Number two.
Number two. We kind of knew this already, but we just keep expanding the list of shows that Rick has seen on Broadway. I am kind of disappointed you didn't see Phantom of the Opera. I think it's still running, so if you want to go check it out, Rick, I think it's a possibility for you.
I'm going to have to start adding to the list for you guys.
There's a lot of things you can go.
Never seen Annie and Fiddler
never
on the Roof.
Never seen Annie. Fiddler on the Roof was kind of shocking.
It's criminal.
Kind of criminal.
Number one.
And number one, we do have the Twitter poll still up on at DNR on ESPN. Go vote. Would you rather watch a blowout playoff football game that does not include your favorite team or have sexy time? Sexy time running away with it, although not quite as much as I thought it would. It's 94% to 5%. So far, 379 votes. Go chime in.
Even I voted for sexy time.
No.
I did, because I turned the game off last night.
You're really growing up in front of our eyes.
I'm really maturing right in front of your eyes. So there we have it. Another gorgeous show. We bring on Jay Will and Max. And
what up?
Of course,
yeah, watching
of course,
the playoffs.
Good morning, guys.
I like it.
Come our way at 8 o'clock this morning on 98.7 ESPN. All right, let's power rank, guys. The team you are most confident will win the Super Bowl of the remaining eight is?
Packers, because they have the easiest road among the teams with a great quarterback. Excuse me. So they get the bye, so they're rested. And now they have a real advantage of that position to get to the championship game. The Chiefs have to get through the Bills, which is a tall order, and Tom Brady's got to deal with the Rams. So I'd say the Packers and Rodgers.
Yeah, I would say Rodgers for sure. There's something that's special about this team, guys. The way they play, even though their offensive line has had some issues, like they've addressed it, they gotten healthy. Aaron Rodgers seems to be that guy. It's hard. Like, all these games are just incredible matchups. Like, the Bucks versus the Rams, they're a 3-point favorite at home, which means they're pretty much a pick 'em. The Bills and the Chiefs. Chiefs are a 2.5-point favorite at home, which means it's pretty much a pick 'em. These games are hard as hell to tell what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I really like the Chiefs. I think for the first – first of all, I predicted when people left them for dead for some reason, 8 in a row. It was exactly 8 in a row. I got lucky. But – I like for the first time against the Steelers, first time this year, I felt like that's the Chiefs. That is the team they're hitting on all cylinders. I don't know if that's enough to get by this Bills team. The way they just, a Bill Belichick defense, forget about the quarterback for a second. I know it's complimentary, but, you know, the one side helps the other. But a Bill Belichick defense that ranked as a top defense, it was like they weren't even on the field against the Bills.
Well, here's the difference. When you have Josh Allen, who was able to make plays with his athletic ability. I mean, guys, that's what we were talking about last night with the game. Kyler Murray rushes for 6 yards against the Rams, and you're like, well, wait a second. Like, when you don't have receivers to throw the ball to, when those options are limited, that's when great players make plays. Josh Allen made plays against the Pats.
Who have you guys been on?
I agree. You're right. It's the Packers, because they have the easiest road, and it goes through their home field and all that. But to me, the best team right now is the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue. And the Bills and the Rams both, and I would put the Cowboys there too, but they're out. But the Bills and the Rams both, and they have better coaching than the Cowboys, the Bills and the Rams both are intrinsically, all season, good teams. Even when they hit rough patches, you looked at the roster and went, no, this is a good team. Both sides of the ball, they can play. And now they're hitting their stride at just the right time. And their quarterbacks, especially Josh Allen, is playing out of his mind.
Guys, I got to tell you, though, if we're talking about Bills and Chiefs, like, the one thing I'm seeing from the Rams and the Bucks, like, just that defense, man, those defenses are just sheer next level. Sheer next level. And one of the questions I just have for the Bills is, I know that they utilized Singletary more once they had a lead against the Pats, but when Josh Allen can't make those plays with his feet, where else do they go? Did it become a one-dimensional team again from the running perspective?
Know what else Jay just said, guys? Because we frequently don't think of non-quarterback positions or receiver positions as clutch, but they're clutch defensive players. And one guy who jumps out my mind all time as a clutch guy is Von Miller, right? And the Rams add this dude to a defense with Aaron Donald and Ramsey, and it makes them very tough.
Very, very tough. Guys, we appreciate it as always. Another chance to get involved in the Super Box Bonanza during your show this morning right here on 98.7 ESPN, and we will talk to you both tomorrow.
All right, guys.
All right, guys.
Wonderful. Wonderful stuff. That's Jay, Will, and Max, and they come your way in just a moment here on 98.7 ESPN. So Tannenbaum sent the gift card. Another one will be on the way when the Chiefs or Bills beat Tennessee. And Rick, we'll do this again tomorrow, hopefully after a Knicks victory. It's Rule 76.
No excuses, play like a champion. It's DPH or Rothenberg, and
you'd think it'd get old, but it doesn't. How about them Cowboys?
98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.